You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Our Ask a Pastor segment once again. If you're one of those people who has a very troubling question that you need answers to, the Seventh-day Adventist Church has capable and very competent pastors who are already waiting for you to bring your questions. My producer will send you your question to the pastor, and the pastor will come through and answer your question, just like we have Mfundisi, Pastor Clifford Ntlapo, joining us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Mfundisi. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank
God
you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Mfundisi. Our question for today is, how does the Bible address the idea of generational curses?
Yeah. We have a number of what you would call narratives in the Bible that suggests that the curses, particularly during the theocratic period in biblical history and also beyond, when Israel had a king, that there were curses that were visited, you know, upon not only those that were guilty of a particular indiscretion, but also their children and their children. The book of Exodus 20 verse 5 would in fact say up to the fourth generation, up to the third or fourth generation. So we have a number of instances where we see these cases affecting not just the one that created or initiated a misdemeanor, but also their offspring as well.
So you are saying there is such a thing as a generational curse?
There appears to be such a thing. However, we choose the expression, rather than generational curse, we choose to use the expression generational consequences that we see throughout the Bible, in fact, not just in the Bible, but also in the modern times in which we live. We see generational consequences there as well. So yes, the Bible does speak quite eloquently about consequences that are visited upon the offspring of ancestors, progenitors, fathers who would have initiated something against the law of God.
So when we are talking about a curse or a consequence, are we talking about the same thing? Is a curse and the consequence the same thing?
The reason I elect to use the word consequence is because the one that initiates an indiscretion, breaking the law of God, for instance, according to the book of Exodus 20 verse 5, and they begin to worship other gods and things like that, is because the consequence of an act like that in certain instances would be swift. It would be immediate. At certain times, it would take time, like in the case of Abram, before he was called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10, when he lied to Pharaoh, the king, about his wife, the relationship he had with this sister. The consequence was not immediate. The curse, what we refer to as the curse, was not immediately visible. But down the line, right down to the third generation, his grandson, Isaac, for instance, who did exactly the same thing, did exactly the same thing. You know, we then saw very negative consequences, and we refer to those consequences or the outcome as a curse that is a generational one. So I would put this to anyone that yes, they are similar cases, generational cases and generational consequences of misdemeanors and indiscretions and transgressions, as you know, to use today's street lingo, they're the same WhatsApp group.
Yes,
it's the same thing.
Yes. So who does the cursing? Because there are some allegations that God is the one that does the cursing and the blessing. So I need you to give us an official clarity. Who does this generational cursing?
We see God making pronouncements in the Bible. He makes pronouncements. He says, I will bless. You'll find that in Genesis 12, for instance. I will bless those that bless you.
Right.
And I will curse.
Yes.
Those that curse you.
Yes.
So God is a blesser.
Yes.
But God, he's a blesser. He is. He is absolutely. He is a blesser.
Yeah.
But in the same vein, he's also a curser.
Right.
We don't like saying that behind the pulpits, he himself has made a public declaration that he will bless, but
and
he will
curse.
Also curse.
Right. So when people use this popular phrase, when they're trying to rebuff and reject curses, they say, back to sender. Does it really work? Is it something that is biblically supported to say you can pray curses away, you can break curses? If God has declared a curse on you, can you break a curse? Is this really something that can be done to break a generational curse and send it back to sender? And if God is the curser, then you can send the curse back to God. Is that really true?
Well, generational curses can be broken. The book of Judges is very clear that much as a pronouncement has been made and it sticks, it stays for as long as the offspring repeats the mistakes of their fathers, that curse remains until repentance, until one down the generational line says, I'm not going to share in both the guilt and the outcome of the guilt of my father. If my father was an abuser, he was beating up my mom, pushing her against the wall, and I'm not going to do that. If my grandfather was doing it, I choose not to do it. Now, the minute there is a resolution, the minute an offspring is resolute that I'm not going to do what this family has inherited, and they turn around. Now, I love what you have just said, and they bring Jesus into the equation and say, I will not do this in the name of Jesus. And there is a turnaround at that very point. The curses cease. They cease with a prayer. So yes, we can pray the curses away intentionally. In other words, they stop right there and they will not affect anyone that comes after you. So the curses, yes, can be broken. in the name of Jesus. We see that, in fact, God himself in Exodus, verse number 20, chapter 20, verse number 6, provides right there an antidote. Verse 6 is a response to the dilemma of verse 5. Verse 5 is a disaster because all it talks about really is curses and curses. I'll curse you, man. I'll curse you up to the third and the fourth generation.
Right, right.
But verse 6 counters that. Verse 6 says, I hear about this pronouncement. I hear about this curse that keeps going on and on. But then in verse 6, God then says, but I will show love to 1,000 of those who love me and those who keep my commandments. So if you love me, if you keep my commandments, I will love you. I will show you love. In other words, the curse that has been coming down and coming down, rolling down the hill, will end right there with you, not just with you. He then says, with thousands. In other words, even beyond you, you'll only experience blessings.
So is the pastor saying you can abrogate the word of God? Because we have always been taught that nothing, the word of God will not come back to him void without having accomplished its purpose. If God has said, I curse Clifford Nhlapo, there is no amount of prayer in Jesus' name that will cause the word of God to come back without having fulfilled its purpose. Now you're saying you can change that in Jesus' name?
That can change. That can change just like that in Jesus' name.
Okay.
It will not change with a change of perspective, with a change of attitude,
right,
with a change of mind, that I will not do what my grandfather did. He was a drug dealer. He was pushing drugs. I will not do it. I choose not to do that anymore.
Right.
Jesus has to be part of that decision. And the minute Jesus is part of that decision,
right,
in other words, then the complexion, the landscape changes immediately.
Right.
It changes immediately. Now, God, without even bringing in Jesus into the fray here, God, just after Genesis chapter 6 here, repents, changes his mind. He does that. And the question then would be, how would he do that? Why does he do that? Well, I would say because he's God. He can make a pronouncement and he can change his mind. You know? And I think that could be made even more possible if one decides to invite Christ, because it's not by might nor by power, but it is by the Spirit of the Lord that we change these curses and say, we are a family of drug addicts, we're a family of witches. In my language, we say snabatagat here. And when one of us marries a girl and brings a girl here, one of the orientation and the induction that she has to go through is to be told that, girl, see that room over there? Don't open that door.
Hey.
There's something in there. Aivulwa. Stay out of that room, because in that room, there are things we grew up doing in that room. Kunesilwane in that room. Someone has to then say, I can't take this anymore. I can't belong to to this. My grandfather left a footprint in this family, and therefore I choose to repent. I follow God from now on, and therefore I'm going to open that door and kick to the curb whatever is in there and get it out of here. So it is an intentional decision that one has, and when one becomes that intentional, God changes his mind.
Let's end it right there on that note, Mfundis. Can I just ask you to just point us to a biblical example of a curse that was broken? Do we have a biblical example that we can leave people with? They can go and read about it, where God issued out a curse and that curse was broken.
Where God issued a curse.
Yes, and somebody, a human being, broke that curse, and God's word did not end up happening as God had issued that so-called curse.
Oh, why don't we talk about the master con artist, Jacob?
Okay.
That brother was cursed. In fact, he wore a garment. His name meant deceiver.
Okay.
And that is the branding that he had. And he would have that for the rest of his life. But on the one day, he then meets an angel. And something happened there.
Sorry, Mfundisi, when was he
Genesis
cursed?
32.
When was Jacob cursed, Mfundisi?
Okay. We need to retrace our steps.
Okay.
On why he left. For 20 years, he had gone to exile.
To Laban's house.
To Laban's house, his uncle.
Right.
He fraudulently received a blessing.
Correct, yes.
He fraudulently received a blessing.
Yes.
But that which he received turned out not to be a blessing. It took him into exile. He became a fugitive. Blessings don't do that. Blessings lift us up. Blessings make us, you know, what God place the blessings places us on that space, on that sacred ground where God can use us to become blessings to others as well.
So it is purely
but
by
the case.
Are you saying, Funisi, he was therefore cursed by way of us deducing? So it's just purely deductive reasoning. God never issued a curse. His mother never issued a curse. His father never issued a curse.
It is deductive reasoning.
Oh, okay.
That the fraudulent acquisition of a blessing,
right,
which made this man a fugitive, and he lived in fear.
Okay.
For 20 years. That changed.
Okay.
When he then met in the book of Genesis, I believe is 32, that entire chapter there. And then the name Jacob, deceiver, that he was wearing changed. His identity changed when he received the real blessing on that night.
Right.
When he met this being, when he met this being.
When he wrestled
and
with
was
God.
This divine, when he wrestled with God there.
Right.
And his name was changed and he received a blessing. And he became a blessing beyond that.
Okay.
And his blessings were generational. Perhaps in closing, as I retreat, you know, I was Last year, you and I may have been watching together the Olympics in
Okay,
France.
right.
You know, there's a small little Caribbean island, nondescript. Many of us had never heard about it. Saint Lucia.
Yeah.
There's a young lady there that took part in the 100 meters sprint and also the 200. I just forgot her name, but I think she's Alfred something, the
Okay.
young Julian Alfred. She won the first and the only Olympic medal there when she won that 100 meters sprint. And when she went back home, she had this medal around her neck. And the reason why she had it around her neck is because it was hers. It was her victory. It was her accomplishment, or so she thought. When she got to the airport and in her home country, one of the people that met up with her was the Prime Minister, Philip something, Pierre, something like that. And he made a speech in one of the welcome ceremonies. He said to her and about her, "You have inspired young girls in our island for a thousand generations to come." Now, blessings stay and stick with us. They inspire not just us, but thousands that come, but so are curses as well.
Right.
My prayer would then be that may God help us to change, to move from curses,
Right.
generational curses, into blessings, so that if we don't have a generational blessing in the family, I will then initiate that for the next generation.
Got it. I hear you. Thank you very much, Mfunis. Really appreciate your time again and your insights. Let's do this again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day further, Mfunis.
You too. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.